Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by Covenant Church Spokane and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong, about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but moving to action, and about the gospel of the kingdom. Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Amen. All right, a lot in the news today. Some of this you are not going to hear anywhere else. And I want to go through the international front first on your daily intelligence briefing. Debka file, first drone strike on U.S. base in Iraq. You heard that correctly. U.S. troops in Iraq were targeted for the first time on Wednesday, April 14th, by an explosives-packed drone, which hit a U.S.-led coalition base at the airport of Erbil. This is up in Kurdistan. Nobody was hurt, but this shows that the drone attack has now happened against U.S. forces. This is no longer theory. This could be Iranian revenge for the attack on the Natanz enrichment facility April 3rd. If you've not heard about it, it's like another Stuxnet. It was a sabotage of that plant, which resulted in a delay of the Iranian nuclear program again. Many people blaming Israel for that and the United States. So we're keeping our eyes on this new change in tactics, in the course of tactics. But this happened in the Nagorno-Karabakh, in Armenia. Between Armenia and Azerbaijan and this war they had, there was a digital surprise attack, essentially, where cyber warfare and drones were both used to attack, and the Armenians did not fare well through that. But what we're seeing here in the United States now is an increase in these attacks. Cyber attacks happening almost every day now. And as a result of this, there is blame being thrown around everywhere on who's really behind it. Either way, the United States is suffering significant downtime now, not on a weekly basis, not on a monthly basis, but on a daily basis because of these cyber attacks. And as one cyber expert said to me recently, it appears these things are increasing in intensity and frequency, like it's going to culminate in a gigantic cyber attack against the United States that may take down our power grid, may take down our cell phone infrastructure. Isn't that interesting? Right in line with what Jack Decker said here on the show twice in the last 4 months. Also today, coming to us from Debka file, the United States expelled 10 Russian diplomats, imposed sanctions over those Russian diplomats, and there's conflicting reports on this a little bit. It's interesting. The pretender declared a national security emergency over Russia and named Russia's intelligence service as the perpetrator of the SolarWinds hack. Now, on Debka file, though, that was on Alerts USA. On Debka file, it says that the reason for the expulsion was the alleged interference in last year's election, and that It hacked into at least 9 U.S. government agencies with malicious code to access U.S. government secrets. So in the foreign news, it's because of election interference. In Alerts USA, which I trust a lot more, by the way, it is over the SolarWinds hack. So this is fascinating. They don't even know why we're doing stuff. Anyway, Biden probably doesn't even know what he signed this morning. Which brings us to the national front. The Biden administration is directly aiding and abetting Hamas terrorists. That's the title coming to us from UTT. John Guandolo, the author, quote, sources inside the Department of Homeland Security report to understanding the threat that FEMA and DHS officials participated in a private webinar last Friday, April 9th, hosted by the designated foreign terrorist organization Hamas, doing business as the Council on American Islamic Relations, which was attended by leaders of prominent U.S. Islamic Jihadi organizations. The purpose of this webinar was for these government officials to give precise details to the hostile U.S. Islamic movement on how to obtain U.S. government grant money. I'm going to stop there for a second. Do you remember when Washington State gave CARE money here a couple years ago? I brought it out. Almost nobody seemed to cover that. But this grant money now, obtain U.S. grant money to structurally harden mosques and Islamic organizations. So they want us to pay for them to set up fortresses? Really? That's unbelievable. Two key U.S. government officials participating in this webinar and instructing leaders of the U.S. Islamic movement were Kerry Thomas, the director of Preparedness Grants Division within the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and also Mark Silveria, Executive Officer of the DHS FEMA Grant Programs. Now, I want to be very clear on this. If you don't understand this, in the Holy Land Foundation trial, this was the largest terror financing trial ever successfully prosecuted in U.S. history. They found in that case and identified CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, as a member of the U.S. Muslim Brotherhood's Palestinian Committee, or Hamas. Now, if what these sources are reporting is correct, this would, what the pretenders administration is doing, if what these sources are reporting is correct, this would constitute a direct and material support for terrorists. That's the quote coming out of this UTT article. By the fact that the U.S. Islamic movement's stated objective is to overthrow the U.S. governmental system and aiding and abetting a terrorist organization, among other federal violations of law, which may include sedition and treason. Indeed. So, in short, if this webinar did occur with the Council on American Islamic Relations, you do have the pretender and his administration working directly with Hamas. Incredible. But there it is. Also, and this is fascinating to me, and sad, a tragedy. Tucker Carlson, this is coming to us from Gateway Pundit. Tucker Carlson covered the DOJ approval of Ashley Babbitt's murder without warning. And so they were pretty upset about this. The killer of Ashley Babbitt is not going to be prosecuted. Babbitt, who was unarmed, was shot and killed without apparent warning by a plainclothes Capitol Police officer as she climbed through a broken window in a door at the Speaker's lobby. The name of the officer was not released. The DOJ stated that shooting her dead without warning was appropriate. That okay. the law is really clear on this. There has to be a warning. And shooting an unarmed person. So where are the riots over that, right? Gracious. Of course, people are very upset about this, and they should be. This is an absolute tragedy. It's a double standard that is happening in our country. Now, on a positive note, this coming to us from the New York Post, Nancy Pelosi is rejecting fellow Democrats' court packing bill. So if you didn't hear about this, the Democrats, of course, in their bloodthirsty quest to obtain power and retain power. And we can say that because of their support for abortion. Okay. They are planning, or they were planning anyways, to expand the Supreme Court from 9 justices to 13. Nancy Pelosi said Thursday she will not bring such a bill to the floor for a vote. So they took a dialectical step backward. Do not think for an instant that they are not going to bring this back. This is called a dialectical step backwards. In other words, when they get pushed to a certain point, they take a step back, act like, oh, hey, we didn't mean it, sorry. And then they wait for everybody to go to sleep, and then they run forward and bring it back again. Also on the national front, this coming to us from the New American and Project Veritas, which is doing, I mean, they're just doing an incredible job exposing what's going on in this country, what's going on with the mainstream media. Well, you've got James O'Keefe landing another Grand Slam home run. They quite literally caught a technical director for CNN, the Communist News Network, confessing that there is no such thing as unbiased news. It just doesn't exist. There's too many agendas, end quote. In addition to that, he essentially admitted how the network keeps viewers tuned in with bad news and that the top brass personally controls graphics and cries to stoke fears as the network's leftist anchors are spinning the news. And reporters have turned manipulating interview subjects into an art form, he said. COVID, and this is a quote, okay. Quote, COVID, gangbusters with ratings, right? Which is why we constantly have the death toll on the side. Let's make it higher, end quote. The director revealed that, quote, the network practices the art of manipulation to change the world, end quote. Wow. I want to read a little bit more of this because it's such a bombshell. Quote, fear really drives numbers. Fear is the thing that keeps you tuned in, end quote. Quote, there's no such thing as unbiased news. It just doesn't exist. There's too many agendas. There's too many people that have jobs that need to feed their families for it to be unbiased. It's impossible. The most unbiased news is grassroots out of people's basements with podcasts like this one. That last part was mine. With podcasts, that's the most unbiased you could probably get, end quote. So podcasts like Patriot Radio, that's where you're going to get unbiased news. That's where you're going to get the truth. This guy's admitting it. It's interesting, too. They actually look to set up their interviews. Quote, we've led them to talk about how we want them to talk about it. It's always like leading them in a direction before they even open their mouths. And the only people that we even let on the air, for the most part, are people that have a proven track record of taking the bait, end quote. Quote, I think there's an art to manipulation, end quote. Chester continued. Quote, you ever meet somebody that you feel like you're going to be gaslit by? I'm sorry, like you're being gaslit by, start to listen to how they word things. Inflection, saying things like twice. Like there's little subtleties to how to manipulate people. I mean, it's enough to change the world, you know? It was a plan, and I think this time it worked with, like, the Trump thing, end quote. At the end of the part one expose, Chester admitted that CNN targets Republicans with propaganda and is now trying to destroy Representative Matt Gaetz of Florida, just like they tried, and that's the key word, tried but failed, to destroy yours truly. Now, we have it in the open. Nobody can contest it anymore. At all. And people wonder why the Socialist Review does what it does. Wow. All right. Coming to us from WorldNet Daily on the national front. A couple of things that have been kind of under the radar right now is the Middle East spending. Quote, the Biden administration is now facing new demands for information about its plan to resume funding of the Palestinian Authority, which runs a pay-for-slay program to compensate terrorists who kill people in the Middle East, end quote. In other words, the United States wants to fund the Palestinian Authority again, which was giving direct monetary payments to people whose families were left after they had committed acts of terrorism, blowing themselves up. Wow. And that just kind of fits in with what John Guandola was saying in his article. Which brings us now to Technocracy News. There's so much that is happening with that, but why do the Chinese collect DNA from Americans? Well, as many people have speculated, it could likely be for one specific outcome. Quote, nevertheless, China's aggressive collection of American DNA should be doubly alarming because it can only spell one ultimate outcome. Biowarfare. That is, genetically engineering viruses or other diseases that will be selectively harmful to U.S. populations. I would go a step further. That's the end of the quote. But I would go a step further and say to specific ethnic populations. And this is, we've talked about this. This was brought up in Unrestricted Warfare by the two Chinese colonels. It was brought up in General Qi's secret speech. And here it is coming up again as a potential. Now, this other interesting thing that is happening as well, that I want to, we want to be on the cutting edge of this as far as technology is concerned. So also from Technocracy News, DARPA, this is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, which was, it came out of the Cold War, is working on a COVID vaccine that will work on all the variants and has developed an implantable microchip, what could go wrong, that it says will continuously monitor the human body for signs of the virus. Of course the solution is an implantable microchip. Of course. Wow, why didn't we think of that earlier? Oh, my. Well, there it is. You can go read that article for yourselves. I'm going to put it up on the social media pages. DARPA working on vaccine plus implantable microchip to detect virus. And then lastly on Technocracy News, I don't talk a lot about this guy, but it's, I think, important to do it today. So Henry Kissinger has cropped his head back up again. So Kissinger warns Washington, quote, accept new global order or else, end quote. One of the few remaining members of the Trilateral Commission, founding members of the Trilateral Commission, Kissinger has pushed for a new world order consistently. I think everybody knows that. And here is, last Thursday, Kissinger called on the U.S. to create a balance with existing global forces, adding, quote, if you imagine that the world commits itself to an endless competition based on the dominance of whoever's superior at the moment, then a breakdown of the order is inevitable, and the consequences of a breakdown would be catastrophic. Quote, if we don't get to an understanding with China on that point, then we will be in a pre-World War I type situation in which there are perennial conflicts that get solved in an immediate basis, but one of them gets out of control at some point. In other words, and in very simple words, Henry Kissinger has warned Washington either agree to a new international system or continue pushing tensions that are leading to a situation similar to the eve of World War I, where there were a bunch of entangling alliances. But isn't that what China is pushing for anyway? Are we supposed to just submit? I don't think Americans want to submit to China. Thank you very much. Which brings us to the final article today, coming to us from libertysentinel.org. That's Alex Newman's site. Dr. Peter Hammond posted an article here a couple days ago. And it has to do with the Katyn Forest Massacre. Now, this happened in Poland. Over 22,000 Polish prisoners, including over 8,000 officers, these are Polish officers, were murdered in cold blood by the Soviet NKVD in the spring of 1940. When the crime was discovered, Stalin's Soviet Russia was an ally of Great Britain and the United States. Therefore, they found it more convenient to attribute this Russian atrocity to their German enemies. In other words, the United States and England allowed the Germans to be blamed for something that the Russians actually did. Now, this doesn't even get into the prisoners of war that went missing and et cetera and the cover-up, but it's an important history to understand. Marxists always try to either murder or smear the leaders, the troublemakers of a country, so that they aren't going to be a problem for them. Marxists always do this every country that they go to. So you see three main stages. The first stage is the murder or smearing of the leaders. They call it it's called the Red Terror. Then following that, they begin to attack churches, kind of like you're seeing in Canada. They try to shut the churches completely, put fences around them, persecute mercilessly the pastors and the leaders in the church. And then the third part of the state, or the third stage, is the complete disruption of the supply chain so that they starve out the remaining dissidents. You saw this happen in Ukraine. You saw this happen in many of the stands. You saw this happen in virtually every communist country, China. This same pattern. Smear and murder the leaders. Attack the church. And I'm talking Christian churches. Although Jewish people are subject to persecution under the communists. Which is, that's why it's so odd to me that there are huge blocks of Jewish voters that vote Democrat and Marxist. Is just incredible to me. But the next stage is they disrupt the supply chain to cut off food so they starve out the remaining dissidents. This is why in the 1970s, the Soviets had it as an express strategy to infiltrate the farm workers union here in the United States, infiltrate other unions that had to do with food processing, and infiltrate the longshoremen who unpack, load or unload the boats. Okay? This is all intentional, what they have set up. And if you don't understand this, you're going to miss the bigger picture of where things are headed. So check this article out on libertysentinel.org. Really good at bringing the history back up so that we do not get lost with all of the disinformation out there. And speaking of which, if you want to avoid disinformation and do what the CNN technical director advises, go to the grassroots. Man, that quote's going to live on forever. Go to the grassroots. Go to readoutreport.com. Readoutreport.com. It's a news aggregate, and you can read about all this stuff. You can also go to Feed Me, F-E-E-D-M-E. It's in the App Store, and I think it's called Superfeed now. They may have changed the name, Superfeed. In that app, you can load up all of your favorite news outlets so that you have your own news aggregate as well. But the folks over at Readout News do a fantastic job, so check that out first and share it with your friends and family. People ask me, where should I go for news? Go to The New American. By far, the best intelligence digest published in the United States today. Also go to Understanding the Threat, the best intelligence digest regarding the jihadis, no question about it. So check out those articles that we were just talking about. And last but not least, at least 5,800 fully vaccinated Americans have contracted COVID-19 and 74 have died, end quote. Gateway pundit. So I guess it's not working like they thought it was going to. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us and sending us well wishes. Really appreciate that. If you get a chance, you can hear this replayed across the entire American Christian Network, 106.5 FM, 1050 AM, and that's in the Spokane area. Look on my LinkedIn page for all the rest of the sites and also on the Patriot Radio Facebook page. It's replayed across an entire network, all of Eastern Washington, Northeast Oregon, Northern Idaho, 9 p.m. Or you can catch the podcast, the re-airing on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, and Amazon. Just remember that it's the plan is us. And if you're asking, well, what is anybody else doing? That's the wrong question. Ask, what am I doing? That is what is going to be the key question, the key answer to bringing back freedom in this country. All right, it is my honor to introduce today William Gein. He's the president of Americans for Legal Immigration. Legal Immigration. Really respect what you've been doing, sir. Thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today.
Hey, glad to be with you. And just so everybody knows, we're one of the leading grassroots organizations fighting against illegal immigration and against amnesty, any form of amnesty for illegal aliens in America.
That is fantastic. My wife is a legal immigrant, had to wait in line for several years, had to go through a big vetting process. And what I've found is legal immigrants are the loudest critics of what is going on right now in the country with the pretender in office.
Some of our top supporters at AllyPack.us are legal immigrants who are fighting mad about illegal immigration, and they're very upset when the left constantly conflagrates immigrants or immigration with illegal aliens who pay organized crime, murderous organized crime syndicates thousands of dollars to sneak into the United States. You know, it's apples and oranges that are being mixed together for political purposes, and it's a very important voice. I mean, legal immigrants need to be leading the charge against illegal immigration, and that's something that we've helped facilitate.
So you are considered one of the top experts in America regarding this issue, and I really want you to weigh in on how they're trying to sneak some of this through budget reconciliation and other mechanisms. Tell the listeners a little bit about what's happening, really happening, in Washington, D.C. behind the scenes.
One of our organization's biggest contributions to the national fight to save the country has been stopping or playing a critical role, sometimes decisive role, often influential role, in stopping amnesty legislation in Washington, D.C. Despite the fake polls, vast majorities, 60-70+% of Americans, oppose any type of path to citizenship for illegal immigrants. And even if they didn't oppose it in such large numbers, everyone needs to understand that if the current batch of 22-plus million illegal aliens become voters with full access to voting rights, jobs, welfare, all of that, the United States is over. Well, at least as far as any peaceful political recourse, it's over. The Democrats get 20-plus million new voters, which gives them more than enough votes to take full control of all three branches of government and all laws and policies that we deal with in our lives. So stopping amnesty bills is important, and unfortunately, two amnesty bills just got passed by Congress, H.R. 6, the DREAM Act amnesty, and H.R. 1603, the farm worker amnesty, and they're now both over in the Senate. Luckily, we've pushed them off their plan A. Their plan A was to get at least 10 Republicans to vote with them so they could overcome the 60-vote filibuster threshold that they had to exceed to pass the amnesty. And there's more than 10 sellout Republicans in the Senate, folks. I mean, Mitt Romney's pro-amnesty, Marco Rubio's pro-amnesty, Lindsey Graham's pro-amnesty, of course, Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski love amnesty, because there's nothing that liberal Democrats love that Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins don't love. And there's several others, including, unfortunately, Rick Scott, who's trying to help him pass amnesty. But the American public is so upset at the disaster at the border right now and the Biden administration. These rhino Republicans are too – and, you know, we've been calling them and conducting a public pressure campaign to push those Republicans away. Now they're going to Plan B. And they're going to try to remove the need for the filibuster by inserting amnesty language for illegal aliens into a budget bill using a process called reconciliation. Now, don't tune out there, folks. I know when I say filibuster, budget bill, reconciliation, I think I what probably put 60% of the audience to sleep. I'm sorry, it's technical, but this is the way they're going to try to sneak amnesty into being. And we've got people calling the Senate right now, both the Democrat and Republican senators, telling them, we know about your dirty trick, about how you're going to try to sneak amnesty for illegal aliens into a budget bill and reconciliate it to get it to Biden's desk, and we're watching you, and that's horrible, and we don't want you to do it. Because what we found in the past is, by doing radio shows like this and having our people call the Senate, as they're doing through the email alerts at alipac.us, it turns this strategy off. If the D.C. lawmakers are getting enough pushback from the people around the country saying, we know what you're trying to do, in the past, that has stopped them from attempting this particular form of skullduggery.
Well, as Charlie Chester, the technical director at CNN, would say, he agrees with you on this point, that it is the grassroots that actually brings out the truth, and it is the grassroots that CNN is trying to obfuscate and is trying to disrupt through all of their propaganda that they're putting out. So Project Veritas has done a fantastic job of exposing all of this. My question is now to you, getting back to immigration, what is the likely outcome of all this? Do you think that they are going to succeed? Do you think that the Republicans once again are going to be the designated defeat mechanism for this Marxist takeover?
Well, we never know the outcome of a battle before it's fought. And for the last 16 years, we've been fighting amnesty bills like this. I've had people tell me, William Gein, you can't win this. They've got all the cards. They've got all the money. They've got the votes lined up. Resistance is futile. We shouldn't do anything because it's going to. And all of these are really things people tell themselves and other people to stop themselves from, say, writing a check to help or making some phone calls to help or standing with the people who are fighting. I tell people, save the surrender speeches. Right now, I think the whether amnesty bills pass or not and are signed into law by Joe Biden, giving Democrats full and permanent control of the United States forevermore, it depends on how many people we organize, like what we're doing right now. I'm hoping that the people out there listening will come to my website. It's alipac.us. That's alipac.us. You can read up on what we've been doing this week in the announcement section, and you can join our email alerts. But you got to just not just join the email alerts. You got to make sure they arrive, because we are a constant target, just like Project Veritas and others. We are constantly being targeted by big tech titans. And I don't know if you've heard the latest breaking news, but James O'Keefe just got banned by Twitter. So I'm going to be cutting him a check and sending him a check to help fund his legal battle against Twitter, you know, because he exposed CNN, and they're mad at him, and they want to silence him. So you can't rely. We are on Twitter. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook and everything, but I hope everybody knows that you can't depend on those to allow us to communicate with you when you really need to hear it. And so we ask people to get on the email alerts at alipac.us, use the old technology, use emails, make sure we're in your whitelist or your whatever we need to do to make sure that our emails actually reach you, and then open the emails, read the emails, and we ask you to make a couple of phone calls. Pick up your phone and join with the over 50,000 people that we have on our email subscriber list across the country that we're trying to mobilize and focus into calling the U.S. Senate. The other thing we'll be doing really soon is we're about to make some of our first big endorsements about the 2022 elections, and the 2022 elections shut down amnesty legislation. The fake polls tell you most Americans want amnesty, but the true polls that these lawmakers run for their reelection campaigns show them the opposite. So if we can get close enough to the 2022 elections, get that process engaged, the less likely it is that amnesty will pass. And I think we're the only political action committee or PAC that can actually endorse people on this issue in the country that's very active these days. So it makes our battle very important. And I'm really hopeful that we can work together to form a new national movement that's going to really sweep these socialists and communists, globalists, out of office. And I don't mean just the Democrats. Yeah, I want to see the Democrats in ruins. I want to see the Democrats crying the day after Election Day, November 2022. But also want to see in the Republican primary, I want to see us get rid of a bunch of these rhinos that are just as – they're worse than the Democrats. Some of these Republicans are worse than the Democrats because they're more dishonest. They go and talk to conservative Christian voters and stuff like that and lie to them. And then they go to Washington, D.C. and vote like Democrats and vote with Democrats. And you know, we need an opposition party. That's one of the things that these sellout Republicans don't understand. We didn't elect Republicans to go cut deals and work with Joe Biden's Democrat agenda. We want a true opposition party. And if our Republicans fought half as hard, no, even 20% as hard, as these Democrats fight, we would be okay. We would have something going on. But all they do is talk and cave and talk and cave. And the American public wants something different than both of them. The American public is fed up with the Democrats and the Republicans. And that energy and that power needs a place to go. And I'm hoping that it can go into the elections of 2022 and get some, you know, real populist firebrands elected that will oppose illegal immigration and amnesty for illegals. The key to shutting off the border surge right now is very easy. It's very easy to do. All we have to do is stop illegals from entering and send them home. When Trump got elected and they thought they would be stopped and sent home, they stopped coming. The only reason they're coming right now is because the Biden and Harris administration is flying and busing illegal aliens across state lines deep into red states at taxpayer expense, giving the illegals what they want. So we can never stop illegal immigration as long as globalists and socialists and other people who are violating the United States Constitution, Article 4, Section 4, which says that all states shall be protected from invasion. They're violating the existing immigration laws that say it's illegal even for our own government to be transporting illegal aliens over state lines or encouraging them to enter or remain in the United States illegally, much less the work authorization cards they're giving illegal aliens. It's a felony to help an illegal alien get a job. So how is it the Department of Homeland Security is helping all these illegals get jobs? They're trampling the laws, trampling the Constitution, throwing it in our face because nobody's going to do anything about it. And we need people in the country that are going to stand up and really push to do something about that.
That's exactly right. And I really appreciate what you said about the surrender speeches. I heard that for 12 years in the legislature. You know, it's never going to work. You're never going to win. And they want you not to fight because they're scared. They're scared that you're going to actually stand up and be organized and win. And that's what it's going to take is all of us. There isn't some grand plan. It's we the people that is the solution. We the people are the plan. And we just have to come together united in force against these things. And so I want you, if you could, paint a picture for what is actually happening verifiably at the southern border right now for those people that may have missed this in the last 2 months.
Well, word is out all across the world that America's defenses have been sabotaged from within, and if you want to come into the United States illegally, you just need a kid with you. It doesn't have to be your own kid, somebody's kid, and if you don't have a kid, you can kidnap a kid, and I don't want anybody to kidnap a kid, but they do, or you can pay the cartels to have a kid with you. Sometimes the kids get recycled because you show up with a kid or a kid in your group, and you say, hey, we're family members or we're the kids group, then they waltz you right in. Also, once that illegal alien kid is inside the United States, the way the Biden administration has it set up, that one illegal alien kid in a household with 20 or 30 illegal aliens protects them all from deportation. So they're not really turning away many people at the border. And the humanity from all across the globe is flowing in. Of course, all of these illegals will be expected to do one important thing for the Democrats in return. Every 2 years they'll need to show up and vote Democrat. And while it's currently a felony for illegal aliens to register to vote or to vote in most states in America, that's not being detected, sought for, or enforced. So they're already voting for Democrats, especially in states like California and places like Las Vegas, Nevada, where they propped up Harry Reid and the Democrats and such. So they're just flowing in, and they could double or triple the population of the United States within the next decade or so, especially if amnesty legislation passes again like it did destructively in 1986 under Reagan. And, it's estimated that over 1 billion people on the planet will come to the United States if allowed to do so. They really like how much space we have and natural resources and clean water and stuff like that. So we can all be looking like, parts of China and India here in the next couple decades. Because right now the American people are not in control of our national destiny. Our current constitution and laws are not what's governing the country. If you look close enough, if you take the time to dig into our archives at alipac.us, alipac.us, you'll see that we are under some type of martial law where current existing laws are not what's governing things. There's a lot of different power players. Some of them are just greedy, like the cartels want to, like, take as much money out of the country as possible, and getting American kids hooked on meth and cocaine and fentanyl is a great way for them to do that. Some of them are like China. China's behind a lot of this stuff. The United States probably couldn't fight a war with China at this point because we've got 20, 30 million people that China could say something to, like, hey, knock the United States real hard from the ground on the inside while we, take Taiwan and we'll, give you the Southwest back or do something for you later. We're not really stable enough. We can't control our own borders. How many people are here that aren't loyal to the United States Constitution? How many millions of people have they let in here who are have, shall we say, ill will towards the people of the United States and the Constitution? It's a really bad situation, a lot of people are paying the price of losing their businesses, losing their homes, losing loved ones to the illegal alien invasion of the United States, but it could always get a lot worse really fast. We always see these Mexican flags and a bunch of illegal alien supporters showing up at the mobs and the riots that you see on most TV. Most of the major riots you've seen in the country in the last 15 years, you'll see the La Raza groups waving their flags. They're part of the destabilization movement here inside the United States of America.
Well, let's talk about that, the destabilization movement. Explain about that a little more. And also, we have this narrative that is constantly put out there. It is really a fantasy narrative by the mainstream fake news media of this position of wanting to protect our borders is somehow racist. So address that as well.
Well, I mean, some of these people, like I said, once again, there's hundreds or thousands of different groups and perspectives that all have an interest in the United States being changed or brought down or whatnot around the globe. And they've got their fingers in what's happening to us around us and whatnot. And the way they speak about it is the United States is the next South Africa. We're a colonial remnant from Europe. And our Constitution is racist. Our laws are racist. Our police are racist. Everything's racist, 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 because when they say that, they get more power. Every time that they accuse somebody, falsely or not, of racism, they get more power and they get their way. Everybody backs away from them. Everybody gives them what they want. They fire police officers and town council people without due process or anything else just because of the accusation. They'll fire you. They'll ruin your life. And if that's not enough, they'll have an angry mob show up at your doorstep and try to break in on your wife like Tucker Carlson's home or burn you to the ground or whatever. that's how, you know, mob rule is being spread. And I guess countries and civilizations and empires have messed with each other this way forever. I mean, going back into human history, they always sent in people, agent provocateurs, to sabotage crops and report back and whatever, you know. And here in the United States, we're just wide open. You know, we have no defenses. I don't even know if our nuclear shield still works anymore. You know, we don't have to find out the hard way that it doesn't. But we've been compromised, and one of the things about it is we've been infiltrated. The United States has been infiltrated. So many of these lawmakers in D.C., I really believe they've been compromised, and the powers that be that are really running the show have the goods on them. Quite often it's underage children type of thing. You know, back when I was a campaign consultant, the old saying was, number one way to ruin a politician or a campaign was a live girl, no, live boy or dead girl.
Oh, wow.
And these people, yeah, that was the number one way you could lose a race, you know. And I think a lot of these, you know, some of the members of the Supreme Court and the Senate and the Congress and stuff like that, they get to be, you know, feel so important and special and be in D.C. eating free meals from influences and whatnot, as long as they play the game and they vote and, you know, the way the globalists want them to. But they're not doing what the American people want them to do, and they're not doing what the Constitution says they're going to do. But these other power groups and lobbyists on K Street or whatever, you know, if they're spending, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars each year to make sure they do, you know, things their way. We're out here trying to represent the United States public to the best of our abilities on topics of immigration. And the true polling data tells us things like 70-80% of the American public oppose licenses for illegals, 70-80% oppose in-state tuition subsidies for illegal aliens, 70-80+% of the people oppose amnesty legislation for illegal aliens. You know, we're trying to represent those majority viewpoints, and we're fighting a deep defense battle. Like I said, right now, they could bring up this bill for a vote. They've got the votes. If they find a way to get it through with 51 votes, they might even be able to get it later on in the Biden administration with the 60-plus votes they need, because we know so many Republicans are sold out. But we fight the deep defense battles in the hopes that the Lord will bless this country in some way to survive all this, or that enough American citizens will wake up and get involved. We've got a lot of great people at AllyPack.us who are contributing both financially and their volunteer time for years on end, because they know how important this battle is and what it means. But such a small fraction of the American public is even really aware of what's going on here. If it's only with great amount of disinformation, propaganda, and lies, combined with American apathy, combined with Americans who are, I guess, already neutralized through illness, drug addiction, things like that, that make our battle very tough. But we've got a lot of great people, and every radio show we do, there's a chance that we're going to find more people and get them on the emails at AllyPack.us and have them engaged in the core fight to save this country.
And it is a fight to save this country. That's where this is headed right now. There have been Soviet attempts back in the 70s to infiltrate all kinds of different things, but one of them in particular was the farm workers, and they were fairly successful at being able to do that as an actual strategy of the former Soviet Union. But that's really not gone away. Our enemies are really trying to destabilize the United States right now, and part of it is to create this massive Cloward Piven type burden on our system here in America. And so if you could go into that for the next few minutes, what are we facing as far as fiscal outlay, and what are we facing as just taxpayers who are trying to just scrape by right now, having to deal with this massive influx into communities throughout the United States, and particularly here in Washington State?
Well, I think Russia looks at the United States, and while Biden's in charge, understands that the United States is going to act as an enemy instead of an ally, although I personally believe that there should be great efforts made to make Russia an ally instead of an enemy. And I think Russia knows that there's a lot of people, like the people who voted for Trump and stuff, inside the United States who are not, you know, a problem for them. I think China wants to wreck us, you know, all the way. I don't think China, if it, you know, would ever spare any of us if it came to a full-blown conflict. And they plan to be the new big power on the planet. They believe that they're pulling equal to us. Some of their weapon systems are more advanced than ours. They now have more ships in the Pacific. And I think that they probably have a lot more control over the United States economy and politics than people know. I recently started a a podcast called Dystopia Media, which is available on many different platforms, including on YouTube and Facebook. And I'm on episode 7, but episode 6 was titled China Attacking USA from Within. And in that podcast, there are two video clips of two different Chinese academics who are probably members of the CCP, Chinese Communist Party, who are gloating about what they're doing to the United States. They're saying out loud that the United States is in lifeline now that Biden is back in, and that they're able to get anything they want from the United States because of their amount of access to America's inner core of power. And so I put some really good videos of these folks. I don't have their names committed to memory, but I've got them in episode 6 of the Dystopia Media China Attacking USA podcast. Because when I saw these videos, I was like, you know, whoop, you know, there it is. We've got all these different power groups here inside the United States, like the Council on Foreign Relations and U.S. Chamber of Commerce and Goldman Sachs and others that are pushing this globalist open borders, illegal alien invasion. But then behind that, we've got a communist power that has already enslaved one out of every three people on the planet, that has its fingers into our movies and our theaters and our news organizations and our governmental organizations. And one of the things about China that makes them so devastating is they're playing the long game. They know if they move slow enough and incrementally enough, and they can just buy the United States. And they are buying the United States. They're buying companies. They're buying people. They're buying homes. They're buying properties, buying big parts of Detroit. And if we had to fight China in a war, I'll be honest, I don't even know we could manufacture the war materials that we need. I think this country has been gutted. You know, the Chinese, they put their dissidents and opposition in prisons, right? Like the Falun Gong.
Mm-hmm.
And what they'll do is they'll take those Falun Gong members and they'll sedate them. And they'll put them on a table, and they'll harvest their organs while they're still alive. But they'll save the heart and the lungs for last. But they'll go ahead and take the kidneys and the liver and everything else while the patient has been sedated. Now, here in the United States, you can keep the entire United States sedated by pumping money in here, keeping our banking system afloat, drugs that are flowing into the United States, you know, legal and illegal drugs and everything. And the mass media, you can just keep the United States unaware of its position as they have harvested factory after factory and places, you know. It made me so angry because I like to know a lot about what's really going on. And it's very few times that I get surprised by something. But I got surprised last spring when I learned that somehow or another, China has now produces 94% of our antibiotics. And wow. That we no longer have production capabilities for things like penicillin. So China, how could we fight a war with China? Could we, you know, China could turn off our antibiotics. And if they did turn off our antibiotics, they send us back to the 1800s. There's no way we can't even fight China. And where are the people who have taken so much of our liberties and so much of our money over the years to protect us? Who is it? What agency is it? What individuals is it that allowed this to happen? Who is it that's in our government that's supposed to say the United States has to keep ready to be able to fight on two fronts since World War II? We've had a standing army, and we've spent all this money to make sure that if another situation like Germany and Japan comes up again, the United States will be ready. We'll be ready to fight wars on two fronts. But somehow or another, we won't have any antibiotics, and our entire war effort would probably collapse in a short period of time because we can't make tanks, we can't make helicopters, we can't make medicines for the troops. And how are our troops going to hold up? How are we going to send troops out to fight people when they have no families back home? Or if they do have a family, the chances of them staying married are less than 50%. It's a wreck. It's a wreck. Our grandparents' generation wouldn't have let this happen. They were watchdogs. They lived through World War II. They knew what this was about. But here in the United States, 2021, the people of the United States are not the priority. The people do not have control of it. And when you look at us being flagrantly invaded, okay, and the Constitution says, Section 4, Article 4, all states shall be protected from invasion. It does not say armed invasion, unarmed invasion, semi-armed invasion. It just says invasion. An invasion is when people from somewhere else come into our states against our will and against our laws. And that is exactly what is happening to us. So how is it in 2021 that we can't protect our states from invasion, and we're just watching it happen.
We're just watching it happen,
and our own government has been turned against us in this matter. We are being displaced and replaced by people from other nations in our jobs, our communities, our homes, our movies, our elections. You know, you name it. And we got to get enough people to. If we get enough people to push back the right way, this can be turned around and this can be stopped. At this moment, every day that goes by that amnesty has not been signed into law means that the current illegal alien invasion of the United States remains stoppable and reversible through peaceful political means.
Very good way to put it. In the last minute that we have left, if you could very quickly tell people where they can go to get more information, where they can sign up for your newsletter as well.
We need people on our email alerts. It's the main way that we can communicate with people and bypass big tech censorship. And we never share your data with anyone else. It's at alipac.us. That's alipac.us. Please join our email alerts. And if you reply to any email that you receive from us, it comes directly to me. So I'm there and responsive to you if you have any questions or anything that I can help you with.
William, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate everything you're doing and keep up the fight.
Thank you, sir.
All right. William Gein. AliPac.org. And also, we have the opportunity now to help stop this amnesty push that is happening out there. So, AliPac.us, A-L-I-P-A-C.us. I think I just said .com, but it's .us. A-L-I-PAC.us. Check it out. William Gein just laid it out, what's happening at the southern border, what the intent is here, and they are still continuing to push for amnesty to try to destroy this wonderful republic here. We have got to stand up, everybody. Now is the time. Not later. Now is the time. And I hope also that as we go forward here, stay in prayer. Stay in prayer, but make sure you move to action. We do need prayer. It's like, if we don't have it, it's like moving forward without any artillery cover, right? To use a military analogy, if we do have prayer, we move forward in a partnership to stop this travesty from happening here in the United States. We move forward with Jesus. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for joining me. May God bless all of you and keep up the fight.